In this episode of the Little Red Barn podcast, lots of different things that we can cover. Frustration with weather, frustration with this, that, and the other. Good news on some fronts. We're going to talk a little bit of used cooking oil, Chris.
Yes.
Used cooking oil.
Okay.
And you're the expert on that because you like the old French fries, right?
And an air fryer.
Hey. Oh, an air fryer.
We have an air fryer. Wow. We have air fryers. I'm sorry. We have plural.
Wow. I don't even have a fryer, let alone many fryers that would necessitate
the way that your wife cooks. I'm shocked you've not bought her an air fryer yet.
We still are trying to figure out how to use more often the pressure. What are they? The Instapots, but those pressure cooker things.
Yeah, I don't have any of those. We go air fryer. We have a bigger air fryer to cook the bigger things, and then we have the smaller air fryer for side dishes such as fries.
Yeah. So, what's your favorite thing to cook in the old air fryer?
Woody, he's the chef at our house.
Chef Woodster,
probably French fries, reheating pizza and French fries.
Reheating pizza in an air fryer. It makes it
crispy. Yes, it does.
Interesting.
You reheat the two best ways to reheat pizza is in an air fryer, because the one has a reheat mode, and then in a pan on the stove. People that put your pizza in a microwave, you should just throw your pizza away.
Well, I'd rather eat it than throw
it away. No, it's worthless. Yeah. Once you put your pizza in the microwave, it's absolutely insanely, ridiculously gross, disgusting, rubbery, and should be thrown away.
I agree, and that's why I don't do it. I just put it in the oven. Put it on about 350 degrees for a good 15 minutes.
If you have a cast iron skillet, just throw it in there for a little bit and cover it with aluminum foil, and it will be absolutely primo perfect when you pull it out.
Yeah. And
trust me on that.
Well, welcome back, by the way. It was a good time with the family.
Yeah, we had a good time. Yeah. Alex was back from California. We got to meet the boyfriend.
How'd that go?
Van is back from college for the summer.
I saw the boyfriend in all the pictures.
So the boyfriend flew back with her. We have heard about the boyfriend, Derek. Now they've been together for over a year.
No,
he is a sports fan.
Okay,
which is the first time she's dated somebody that is a sports fan. So God, thank you.
Okay. So you have something to talk about with him.
Yeah, he's a big sports fan, loves his hockey, big Braves fan. They go to Dodger games.
All right, well, now I'm questioning a little bit of his thought process.
It's the normal Braves-Cubs fan. A lot of people, you grow up because you had WGN and you had TBS.
Sure.
Braves games are always on TBS, Cubs games are on WGN.
Correct.
So even though he grew up in the Valley and in California, his grandfather always watched the Braves.
Ah.
So when he was with his grandfather, he watched the Braves. So he grew up a Braves fan. So they go to Dodger games, and he's a big hockey fan. And so he likes sports. We took him to the Fort Wayne Tin Caps game the other night. It's the first time he'd ever been to a minor league game.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been together for about a year. He treats her like a queen. He is the first boyfriend that I've ever approved of.
Is that right?
Yeah, the rest have been douchebags, not going to lie. So from the time they were, pretty much middle school through high school, she's always gone after the douche. So he is a wonderful guy. He has, and it's funny because we knew that when he was younger, he was a child actor.
Okay.
But we never really dove into it so much. I mean, we knew, he did some commercials and stuff. Not a big deal. So while we were having pizza one day for lunch, I said, so Alex said you did some acting as a child. I mean, what all did you do a lot? He's like, well, I did a lot of commercials, national commercials, a lot. He goes, I did some movies. Because I was in Simon Birch, I think that was a Disney movie.
All right.
Back in the day, because I was in that and a few other roles, small roles. And he goes, I was on Home Improvement.
Tim the Toolman Taylor.
He was with Tim the Toolman Taylor. If you ever remember the episode, and I remember it distinctively, Tim the Toolman Taylor is outside and he's got a roller, like a street roller,
Oh, yeah.
If you remember that episode, he accidentally rolls over the kid's remote control car. It's a big thing.
Right.
Derek was the kid.
Is that right?
And then there was a time that he said that George Clooney saved his life after an automobile accident on ER when he was a kid. He was brought into the emergency room on ER after a car accident, and George Clooney saved his life.
Look at that.
I was like, how many people can say that? So, but he's a great guy. I mean, honestly, he really is. We probably couldn't ask for a better guy to date Alex. And, I feel comfortable because she's, 2,000 plus miles away.
Right.
He's great with her, and he's able to help her when she's, studying for an audition or memorizing something or getting ready for WoW or whatever. And
because he's lived the life, so he knows
He knows that, and he still does a little bit. He still goes out for auditions and stuff like that. But yeah, so he can help guide her a little bit. But they flew back yesterday because she had to get back into the ring today for training. So.
So what did he think? I'm curious, and this is where we tie into agriculture a little bit. So Valley guy,
yeah.
What did he think of the?
For sure.
What did he
for
think?
Sure,
of the old
she's a Valley boy.
Western or Eastern Kosciuszko County, Western Noble County landscape, corn and beans and Huntington. What do you think?
So he it was different for him.
Okay,
he liked it. He said it was very nice. I think he had a post on Instagram. They went swimming in the lake, which,
wow.
I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, it's warmer than the ocean.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. He goes, it's warmer than the ocean.
Okay.
So our lakes are what, probably around 60 maybe right
66,
now?
66, I was going
to
say.
So right around in there, he goes, it's warmer. He goes, if you go out in the ocean, he goes, it's warmer than the ocean. So this is nothing. So they went in and they swam a little bit. But he liked it. He said he liked it. It was a lot better than the, you know, it's nice to get out. I think one of his posts was, it's nice to get back out in nature and not, you know, and out of the concrete jungle. Huh. So he liked it. He seemed to really enjoy being here. He seemed pretty relaxed. He took a lot of pictures.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he's a picture taker. So, yeah. it was a good trip. Miss her already, but hopefully we'll get her home. I think she's back on TV next weekend. So
yeah.
It's funny because we went to the Tin Caps game and they do the games on one of the channels in Fort Wayne.
Sure.
That's owned by WPTA. And they were talking about the Golden Bachelor.
Oh,
the Golden Bachelor, yes, is making made an appearance.
Scandalous.
Made an appearance, I believe, Friday night at the Tin Caps game. So they were promoting that on the TV, on the game, about how the Golden Bachelor, is it Gary? Gary was making an appearance and ladies could meet Gary, who's now single.
Yeah, right.
The marriage lasted like
three and a half months.
So while they were doing that, the color guy goes, oh, and we've got a celebrity in the house from Hollywood tonight. Pep Riley from WOW Women of Wrestling on one of our sister networks, CW Network, is here tonight and she's in the crowd. And apparently they panned to where we were sitting and it was just me because they had gotten up and went walking around and it's just me sitting there in our little suite table. So, I'm sorry for your luck.
So now for the benefit of millions of fans, you are the face of Pep Riley.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. So,
right, wrong, or indifferent.
Good trip. Wonderful week.
Good.
Sad
good.
It's over, but we'll get her back home.
Yeah, well,
you've got track rolling. Track is almost done
almost
for you.
Done. I thought it would be done before now. Sectionals were last week, and lo and behold, we had a girl qualify for regionals in the high jump.
Obviously, so the coaching.
Purely the coaching.
Purely the coaching.
Has nothing to do with her abilities of herself. It's all because of the drills that I put her through.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah. We got to go to regionals. And here's the dumb thing. All right. Warsaw, Indiana. You would think the regional would be relatively. Last year, the regional was, again, right here at Warsaw. Mm. This year, we have to go to Kokomo. So,
seems legit.
No, it does not seem legit.
Sometimes things the IHSAA does makes no sense.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. Well, most of the time, they do a pretty good job.
So, but I mean, speaking of the IHSAA, you would have thought, do you realize it was probably easier to get backstage for anything you would want to do if you went to Hollywood, even without your daughter? It's probably easier to get backstage to a Hollywood event than it is to get behind or on the infield at an IHSAA track meet. These emails went back and forth, and the host school of the boys, a sectional, was just militant. You will show up by this point in time to get your wristband. All coaches must be together and come in with the team, or you will have to stay and pay, and you won't be able to get into anything until after it starts at 5:30. And there were coaches like, well, I'm going to send my first group of field event people early.
Yeah,
I want to come with a bus later. What do I do? No. And dear heavens, they spent more time on the wristbands to be able to get you to where you
needed
to be.
Where was this at?
This was at Goshen.
Well, you just saw, that explains it.
And then at Warsaw for the girls sectional, this was really interesting. So last year, the coach pulled in, parked the bus where we thought a good place to park the bus is. about a half hour later, we get paged over the loudspeaker. Lakeland, you got to move your bus. And so I was ahead of the game this year. I just parked the bus where we parked the bus last year when we were told to move.
Right.
Lo and behold, that wasn't right. You have to move your bus and go over here. I'm just like, really? You're going to worry about this bus? And also the starting blocks. We had to take, if we are using our own starting blocks, they had to be inspected.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
No, not with ever with starting blocks. No. Not with starting.
You never know.
Implements getting weighed. Yeah, shot put discus getting weighed. Sure, 100%. Inspecting the starting blocks, that was ridiculous.
I want to get back to this. You have to be here by a certain time. Yeah. You have to be. Who is the athletic director that was sending that out? Or was there a tournament leader that did that?
No, it was.
That is the most insanely ridiculous, stupidest thing I've ever heard in high school sports. You show up with your team when you feel like you need to arrive. They don't tell you when you have to be there.
Exactly. It was like the assistant to the athletic director or assistant athletic director. And again, the number of emails that bounced back and forth on that alone was just ridiculous.
Well, yeah, because you probably had, 30 coaches on the email chain?
At least.
Yeah, did they like it when people were saying, no, we're going to come here and I'm going to come then?
There was a lot of, after further consideration, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
We've talked to the states, blah, 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 and they finally got it worked out. But I tell you what.
That.
And you know what? No hospitality room.
What?
No hospitality for coaches. Now, at Warsaw.
What?
At Warsaw, hospitality room, RB sandwiches piled up. They disappeared quickly. I didn't have the Arby's sandwich because they were gone by the time I got there. But hospitality room at Warsaw for the girls' sectional, no hospitality room at Goshen.
I will tell you that the greatest hospitality rooms that I have ever been in.
Okay.
When Joe Santa was the athletic director at Huntington North.
Okay.
That man knows how to put together hospitality rooms.
Is that
they
right?
They were the best. I've been in some good ones, but that one... always the best.
Yeah.
You gotta have a hospitality room. How do you not have one?
I don't know. If you wanted concessions, the coaches had to pay for their own concessions.
Now softball, you don't typically have one, but when you go to the they'll say, okay, you want to go to the concession chain, you get whatever you want. You're a coach telling your coach, because I mean you don't need it's softball. You're outdoors. But basketball, I'm telling you, there are some schools that they like it's
they
good.
Bring it out.
Like we at Hamilton, I'll be honest, Hamilton did a really nice job one year. We had like a whole spread. Southwood.
Right. Yep.
Southwood. Their athletic director. I did the boys sectional game last week about a year ago. And the spread in there in the media room was like spot on. Like absolutely fabulous. Mad respect for that.
Well, what's interesting is, so some of the ones that you kind of rattled off, it's a mix between, you know, city schools and Southwood. I mean, they're in the sticks. That's a rural high school really putting the spread out.
Yeah, so. But I'm telling you, it was great. It was a good spread.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Yeah. I think it's good. So, so track is winding down. We've got regionals next Tuesday. If she does well, we'll have to make a run to the state. But we'll see.
Good
jumps this year, so that will be exciting. But, yeah, I'm ready for track to kind of be done because, you know, the amount of things that are mounting here that need to be done at the farm, the list is growing every day. I'm going to be, after we're done with this podcast, I'm going to hop on the old six-wheeler and go ride through some fields to try and see just how soft, just how wet things are. I'd really like to be able to get a sprayer over some of my stuff soon because, Chris, now we are post 520. You know, May 20th, a lot of times is when, well, at least back in the day, you were nervous if you weren't planted by May 20th. And I think there's going to be a lot more anxiety in this area. It's interesting for over in your area, Huntington, and then all the way up to the Cromwell area and then east, still lots of moisture over there. That area got 8+ inches of rain in April.
This week, there's been a lot of farmers in the fields tilling. Getting ready.
Yeah, but they haven't put the seed in yet.
There's no. Well, we planted our sunflower seeds.
Did you?
Sunflowers. I think I planted about 200 sunflowers.
200 sunflowers.
Yeah, in about a 10-by-4-foot area.
How's your emergence? How's your emergence so far?
Or did you
just plant them?
We just literally did that.
Okay.
We're going to do sweet corn this weekend.
Sweet.
The neighbor bought a tiller.
I'm really?
Like, yeah! Excellent timing! I was like, does that thing work? Well, it will. I'm like, get it working. I got corn to plant. That's going to hopefully go in this weekend.
Good deal. All right. So sunflowers are in, but guys are in the field tilling, but not planting on the large scale.
No, I've not. I think I passed one field in Huntington that looked like it had been planted.
Right. Yeah. So you get farther west and north on some lighter ground. Some action really kind of ramped up last week. Even close in here to the Warsaw area, getting the northern part of Kosciuszko County, stuff was going, plant seeds going in the ground. Southern part of the county, it was really interesting this past week. It rained. Oh, let's see, what day was that? That would have been, so sectional was last Tuesday, so right. It went overnight Tuesday night, Wednesday. We did not get rain at the sectional in Warsaw. Well, just spits and sprinkles, but no rain to speak of. At my house, which is just south of Warsaw, we got maybe a quarter of an inch by the time we got to Wednesday morning. Wow. Silver Lake, 8 tenths. Northern Wabash County, 1.5 inches. And that's just the spread that we saw last week. So those guys in northern Wabash County, southern part of Kosciuszko.
But what does this week look like? I know we've got some hot temps. I mean, it's definitely warmer.
We're warmer, but we're also looking at that triggering some thunderstorms, I think probably Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night into Wednesday. And then we're
strong, I'm guessing, since it's going to be in the 80s.
Potentially, potentially very strong. And then we've got another cluster late in the week. So the story here, Chris, is the fact that, look, everybody wants rain. And if crop is in the ground, these rains kind of timed out like this are good.
Right.
There's some corn just south and southeast of the Warsaw Winona Lake area. Probably a good 4-5 inches already. There's some 4-inch beans that I was hearing about up in parts of southern Michigan. So the rains are great for that because we're getting rain and then we have 3 days
but
of dryness.
But not if you haven't planted.
Yeah, rain, 3 days of dryness, more rain. And that 3 days isn't enough to evaporate and get soil conditions right for folks that haven't planted yet. So we're starting to get nervous here this week. And I personally, not nervous yet. Now, I did ask my seed guy because I keep such good records. Hey, what seed did I get? What maturity of beans did I get? I was a little nervous because
you're going to be planting soon then.
Well, I thought I had 3.6, group 3.6 beans, which are a longer season, longer maturity beans. Turns out I've got 32 or 3.2. So I'm still okay. If I get in the ground sometime between this week and June 1st, it'll be easy peasy. But the things that has to happen first is I need to spray. I got to burn down because I've got quite the crop of wheat out there. Volunteer wheat, cover crop, and things like that. So I've got a good crop. That means I need to spray it. I don't want to plant green this year. I want to burn down first. And I need to get a sprayer across the field and then tractor across the field as well. Speaking of tractors, I stopped by and was talking with the folks up at Polk Implement last week as well. Got my eye on a tractor.
Oh,
yeah.
It a sexy tractor?
It's not a sexy tractor. It's an old white. A white 2180 that they've got up there. That means 180 horsepower, and it is front wheel assist. So it's basically a four-wheel drive tractor. I don't know. We may have to take a closer look at that.
Well, what about the combine? Well, it's still in the shop?
The combine is still at the shop, but it is out of the shop. The combine is for sale. And actually,
you're fixing the combine and now selling it? Yeah, what are you, some flipper?
So, no, I'm not a flipper. If so, I'm a bad flipper because I've put more into this than I'm going to get out of it. But the combine for this is for sale. Massey Ferguson 510.
From 1842.
No, 1970, which means it has the Chevrolet 327 4-bolt main gasoline engine.
354 barrel.
This thing will scream.
Cherry bombs.
So it does pretty much have cherry bombs. Mm. But what we did is we got the oil leak fixed, but we need there's a little bit more that needs to be done to the grain auger, the unload auger and things like that. And I've decided with parts, because the parts for a Massey come from AGCO.
Mm-hmm.
So AGCO covers Gleaner, White, Massey, and several others. And AGCO parts are always about 2.5 times more expensive than when you're just dealing with Case or John Deere.
Are you going to buy a new combine?
So what I'm thinking is I'm gonna sell the Massey combine. It's going to be a good combine for somebody that wants to tinker just a little bit and do the unloading auger refresh. But otherwise, the engine alone is worth what I'm asking for it. So we're going to look at moving that and moving into something with better parts availability. So either a John Deere or a Case IH.
John Deere Green.
There you go.
On a hot summer night.
There you go. So we're going to move on from that. But we're also looking at this tractor just because a little more horsepower. Got the new planter out there. 11 rows of soybeans going to go in at one time with this. So
maybe
a little more horsepower trying
get
to
get it done.
So if you are interested in that combine, reach out to me here at the Little Red Barn. Of course, you can do that.
Ryan Martin Marketplace.
And you know what? The Case Model 60, my 1956 Case Model 60 pull type combine that's downstairs. I think I got somebody coming from Southern
Illinois.
What
about the Farmall?
The Farmall's right here. That's a tractor.
You're keeping that though.
if I, you know, look, if that, if I can make a deal on that white, the farm will
make him 10 bucks. I'm taking it home today.
It's going to take more than that. Take more than that.
50.
Nah, more than that. And the Minneapolis Moline may have to go too. So we'll see.
Wow. Look at you.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to consolidate here a little bit and make this operation run a little smoother, because smoothness has not been the middle name of this operation as of late.
That could be the understatement of the 2000th century.
How did you come to the farm today? You came in on regular paved road.
We came down 13 to the big metropolis of Sydney, yeah. And then we cut west on whatever that is by the south of the railroad tracks.
When you go home, you should take the dirt road north here 1 mile.
Thanks, Mark Miller. Slow down.
Slow down as you get to the corner of the property. Look to your left, look to the west, and what will you see? You'll see the bees. The bees are here. The bees have showed up a couple weeks ago. They were angry. I've seen a lot of Seinfeld things coming up on my feed here recently for whatever reason. I've seen especially several times the George Costanza monologue on the whale.
Right.
The sea was angry, my friends.
Yes.
Yeah, and I keep thinking now as I drive past down there. Not so much now, but when they first showed up, the bees were angry, my friends.
Oh.
Because they
when
our beekeeper delivers the bees, he delivers the colony without the queen.
Oh.
And with a colony without a queen, it's very agitated.
When
very
is the
agitated
queen come?
Indeed. And she came about a week later.
Okay.
So I drove past a week later, much more calm, a lot of in and out activity. The main things they're going through, you notice the wild mustard and the brassicas that are blooming yellow all over. Mm-hmm. The bees are all over that.
Okay, good.
And some things like that. But the queens showed up, so the bees are a little more calm. But they're.
Every time you say that, I picture Freddie Mercury flying in and out of your beehive.
Well, the queens don't fly in and out. That's the thing. They just stay home. Mm. They stay home all the time. I also saw a picture of Freddie.
I thought they left every once in a while.
Not really.
I was told they fly out and come back every once in a while.
No, because then the workers get ticked off when they leave.
That's what I was. I saw that. I watched PBS.
What?
I watched PBS. They talked about how the queen does leave every once in a while. Well, I remember the episode quite well.
They were talking about the queen that you were talking about.
Freddie Mercury.
No, not that one. The one in Buckingham Palace. She is allowed to leave every now and again.
Oh, no. No, like, this was the bee.
Interesting.
Yes.
I have not. I do not know that.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, the bee, the queen stays. But yeah, so we're working in the fields right now, trying to figure out when we can go, hopeful that we can go here in another 5 to 10 days. But again, guys that have crop in the ground are really liking the moisture that we've gotten so far. Things are off to a pretty good start, but we need it to slow down just a little bit. The other thing that's going to be interesting here, we mentioned used cooking oil at the top of the show. Over the course of the past week, several different tax credit programs going together with regard to renewable diesel or sustainable aviation fuel. And there was a lot of rumblings earlier this week that we, the United States, were going to put tariffs on used cooking oil coming in from China for sustainable aviation fuel.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it is interesting because, you know, you had multiple irons in the fire with the restaurant business years ago.
Yeah.
How much used cooking oil did you guys generate? How often did you turn over the oil in the fryers?
Quite a bit because there was fish night.
Oh, that makes the oil.
So you cook a lot of chicken, you're cooking fish on Fridays, and not just that, there's a lot of people who are allergic to fish like me.
Okay.
So you would have your, you know, this
fish vat over
this
here.
One would be the fish, and then when it was done, you would clean it out and put fresh in because you didn't cook fish for the next week, or it would just sit there. So quite a bit.
Okay. So if you were, because the restaurants you were a part of, I mean, small family-owned kind of restaurants had, you know, what, the typical customer week of, what, 1,000 people a week?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah? All right, so what was that turnover? If you had to take the used cooking oil and keep it, how many gallons would you end up with at the end of the week?
Just ballpark
it. Because this is big business. That's
maybe it's 4, maybe 5. Maybe 5. I'd go 5.
5 gallons for a week?
Wow. Yeah, maybe.
So, and if you put that on steroids with a place like McDonald's and
because
whatnot,
if you do a nice job of cleaning your grease each day, you can you're better off.
Yeah.
Some restaurants are horrible at that, by the way.
Yeah, when you can taste it in the oil, you can taste it that it's old oil.
Speaking of McDonald's,
yeah.
Do you go to fast food? Do you eat fast food very often?
Time to time, yeah.
Well, I mean, if you go to fast food, you see how much the costs are. Like,
sure.
The prices of, like, there are places in this country where a Big Mac meal is $18. people are like veering away from eating fast food because like if Woody and I go to McDonald's, we drop like $24, 22 bucks. McDonald's is introducing June 25th a $5 meal. When is the last time that you saw a $5 meal at a fast food restaurant?
Well, before I say, it's been a while, but before I say anything on that, it's like, okay, is this $5 meal like three nuggets and a small fry?
There are options. There's the McChicken.
Okay.
It could be a McDouble or it could be four piece nuggies with fries and a Coke. $5. It's a limited time, but it's like June 25th.
Of course it is.
But when is it got me to thinking when I saw that earlier, when is the last time you pulled into a drive through and ordered a $5 meal, anything?
No, you haven't.
All right, so that was my rant.
No, that's good. But it comes back to, too, I think that some of those meal prices will be interesting to watch once this used cooking oil thing starts to ramp back up. Because one of the things that we're talking about is, I asked you how often you change the oil and what you do. Because what's the definition of used cooking oil? I cook something in it, it's done. Mm-hmm. So if used cooking oil tax credits and the market goes to such a place that UCO is more valuable than just, say, soybean oil itself, you're going to end up with a whole bunch of restaurants, enterprises, putting oil in that fryer.
Oh, pulling
using
that puppy
it
out.
Pulling it out right away.
There'll
putting
be,
it in the
be
bats.
Restaurants doing it daily.
Oh, yeah. Putting it in the bats out back to be picking up.
Well,
it's Greece, real interesting.
It's not exactly cheap to buy.
Well,
it's not cheap.
What is the main blend of cooking oil? Is it predominantly soybean or is it peanut oil or what do people use now?
I don't think it's peanut oil. A lot of people stay away from peanut oil just because of the amount of allergies with peanut. There's an overabundance of people in this country that have an allergy to peanuts. So it's not, I don't think very many people use peanut oil. I would be surprised if many that I eat out do.
Interesting. Peanut oil is the best to cook in, though. If you want a crispy whatever it is you're cooking.
If you're cooking a turkey at Thanksgiving and you're frying it, peanut oil is the way to go.
Yeah, but it makes good fries.
Turkey sucks, but outside of that, if you're going to cook it on Thanksgiving and fry it, it would be peanut oil.
Yeah. So this is something to watch. And what was real interesting is that there is all tariffs put on a bunch of stuff out of China. I'm issuing a Ryan Martin trade war watch. Meaning conditions are right for a trade war to develop. Trade war watch, just because it seems like in this election year, which, by the way, did you vote on the 7th?
Of course I did.
Of course you did.
Everybody I voted for won. Well, except one.
You know
what?
The
governor did not.
That's the way it worked with me, too.
The governor did not win.
That was interesting. But low turnout, by the way. So after our take on politics, didn't get many people to the polls.
Well, and it doesn't. I mean, there's a lot of people that just weren't that interested in it. Do you have when you have a presidential year where there's nobody to really, it's done. People won't drive. I mean, to get out to the polls. I thought, you know, like the congressional district there in Northeast Indiana.
Yep.
I felt like there was 57 people on the ballot, and it kind of watered it down somewhat. So my guy won.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like it
was
watered
down. And thank you for
your
vote, by the way.
I think I just think sometimes I love the fact that people want to get involved, and I would highly encourage people to run for office. But when you have that many on the ballot, it stretches it out. Yeah. So I mean, it makes it a little more interesting. But yeah, of course we wouldn't vote it.
Yeah. I'm glad I don't have to hear about the dang coroner in the county anymore. So
yeah, I don't even know who won the Cassie. I'm assuming the current guy won.
Incumbent.
I don't know. The amount of coverage that the coroner race in Kosciuszko County got was beyond insanely crazy.
That was stupid.
Nobody cared about anything else in Kosciuszko County.
Yeah.
Except the coroner race. Yeah. That'll tell you how exciting Kosciuszko County is.
Yeah. And we'll Yeah, exactly. But I still think as we move toward the federal election, there's going to be more talk, because I even noticed it, and we talked about it in that podcast, governor candidates talking about China, and now the administration, and I'm sure Trump is going to as well be talking about China, all of these imports, what kind of trade war. Recall, in agriculture, we had the trade war back in the prior Trump administration that went on with China for 18 months and really made life interesting. That and inflation is going to be the other story, I think, that's going to be big for agriculture as we go forward. Speaking of agriculture and politics, farm bill, not even remotely close to getting done here. I think that can get kicked down the road for another little bit or so. Speaking of track and politics and agriculture, who do you think was working the discus the conference meets for our conference, the discus ring, back in early May.
I don't have the foggiest idea.
Congressman Rudy Yoakam was out there measuring discus throws. Yeah. It was fantastic. Oh, good for
him. I like that.
I saddled up next to him for a little bit. Like, hey, they just get anybody to work these things, don't they?
He was unopposed, wasn't he?
I believe he was unopposed, but so he's out measuring discus throws right ahead of the primary.
Hey, why not?
So that was fun.
When you make that much money as a congressman, you could do that every once in a while.
I suppose. I suppose. But with some of the discus throwers, I told him, I said, you need to stand back behind the fence here because, a little bit of a problem. But anyway, it's been an all-round interesting week. I think this week gets even more. I'm interested to hear next week how the old sunflowers are emerging.
It said 2 to 3 weeks before.
It'll be faster than that.
I can't remember.
It'll be faster than that.
Corn's going in this weekend.
Corn's going in for over the weekend, and looking forward to some good. And I still can't believe it's you plant all yellow that you don't plant the mixed ones. But
mixed what? No, it's
yellow and white.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I'm thinking about planting some Bloody Butcher this year.
Well, I have no idea what that is.
It's completely red sweet corn. I mean, just bright
I've seen
red.
That. Yeah. Is it good? How sweet is it?
It's supposed to be good. It's supposed to be good, but I'm thinking about planting some. We'll see what happens.
Well, let's try it.
Yeah, try it on the air. I'll put my Bloody Butcher corn up against your yellow stuff.
I would like to talk about your e-bike.
Really?
Yeah,
why?
Because you have an e-bike. I'm sorry. Not everybody has an e-bike. Most people that have an e-bike just because they have a lot of extra money.
No.
And would like to buy an e-bike.
No. So what do you want to know?
Well, do you like it? Is it fun? My neighbor has one, and I would love to have one.
So I got it from my wife, and she's ridden it a couple of times just around the neighborhood. See, the thing is, kids are still in school. So she has to take the kids to school. You can't do that with the bike. So she just goes to the Biblical Gardens where she works. Once the kids are out of school, she's going to start to commute to her job on the e-bike. She likes it. She's still getting used to it. She's decided she wants to wear my motorcycle helmet with it. So just the whole
She runs on the highway with that thing, and there's a lot of not intelligent people that drive on 15,
and that's the reason why we got it.
That's a bad idea.
That's the reason why we actually stepped up and did it, because I would rather you limit your time on the highway on state road 15 by being able to run
now how much
25 miles
an hour. How much is an e-bike?
So this one wasn't too bad. Let's just put it this way. This one was the same price as getting a middle of the range mountain bike.
Okay. That's not bad.
So it wasn't bad. And that's one of the reasons why we pulled the trigger. You know, mm-hmm. I have a Diamondback mountain bike that I got way back when they were a lot cheaper. And my wife has a K2, and this was comparative to what you would spend on a middle of the range mountain bike now.
Oh, nice. It's like, okay. Yeah, my neighbor Matt has one, and I'm intrigued to buy them.
Yeah, so
I don't have one. It's not on my high priority list of
something
I would run out to buy. The new golf cart is probably on that list higher, but I'm completely intrigued by the e-bike.
Yeah.
I would probably ride forever if I had one.
Well, and that's what's really interesting is it can extend the range. So we got the bikes back from the bike shop that we actually took our bikes to get fixed. I picked them up, and then I picked up the e-bike while I was there. And once we got those bikes back, we hadn't had our bikes tuned up and able to be used as a family in probably 2.5-3 years.
Where do you ride as a family?
What we're planning on doing is we want to explore the Nickel Plate and the Monon Trails a little bit, and also the Pumpkin Vine. But for what we did when we got right back, you know, Melanie and I took our two bikes into town. We parked right there in Winona Lake near Cerulean.
Winona Lake.
And so we biked the Winona Lake trails all
Winona
the way out.
Lake. Come on.
South of time. Why? Winona Lake.
Because it's Winona Lake.
Why?
It's Winona.
Winona.
Not Winona. It is not a country singer. It's Winona Lake.
She took it. It was here first.
It was Win. That's W-Y.
So we went all the way south on the trail as far as we could. Then we came back. And we stayed in town for a little bit, and then we went all the way up through Warsaw. We did what my wife is calling the Tri-Lakes Tour. So we were there at Winona Lake. We went the tours all the way up to the Krebs Trailhead, went down Market Street, up to Center Lake, hung out the Biblical Gardens a little bit, then went across 15 over to Pike Lake, went around Pike Lake, took the boardwalk back and the Buyer Farm Trail.
I believe there's a bike trail that goes around the vast majority of the county. The bike trail on the roads goes up. It goes around Wawasee and Syracuse.
Yep.
And I think Tippy and Webster and all that.
Yeah, but it doesn't run necessarily in the straightest ways. Because what the bike bike group here, the Velo, Kosciuszko County Velo.
Is that the race team?
I don't know.
In the, yeah.
What they did is they found out roads. They picked the roads that were the least traveled. So least likely to get killed right. in order to get. So you end up zipping out through the county on these roads that aren't really the best for bikes because
of the fat and skinny bike races.
That was this past weekend, and I think it goes all this week. I think they're doing stuff through the end of the week, too. Speaking of fat tires, there are some bikes that are for sale. The e-bike that we got has bigger tires, but they had one that was even more monstrous than that. This thing's riding on floaters.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, there's big tires.
Are these
cool, though?
Keep you up. You can ride across a lake because.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know about riding across the lake, maybe in the winter.
I mean, they have that much flotation.
Yes.
I don't know. It's interesting. So, yeah, that's the e-bike. What else you want to know?
I got nothing.
All right.
It's my birthday week this week.
So, birthday week.
Big celebrations going on this week. Softball is tonight, our sectional game.
Yep. Are you going to go far in the sectional? What's the outlook for West Noble softball?
The team that we play in sectionals this evening, we are 0-2 against, although we just lost 2-1 the other day.
Ooh.
Well, it's your alma mater.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well.
They beat us the first time pretty good, and then we actually out. It's one of those games on Thursday we outplayed them, but we lost 2-1.
Speaking of my alma mater, I was at SoilCon back in March. In Syracuse, it was a big soil conservation meeting and event. And this guy walks up to me and he goes, do you know who I am? I'm like, he goes, do you remember me? I'm like, okay, now that's something. Somebody says, do you know who I am? And I say, yeah. And I'm like, do you remember me? And it's like, crap, I should know who you are. Turns out it was my sophomore English teacher at Fairfield, has retired now, and he's all about farming. He's interested in farming and all this kind of stuff. So he's coming up, quizzing me about my classmates that I haven't had probably much contact with except through Facebook since we moved out of the school system. But weirdest thing, Mark Jordan walks up to me and says, do you remember me? I did not. And then I
do not remember you. I paid no attention to your class whatsoever. You are unrecognizable.
Yeah. The only thing I remember from his class is we talked about Beowulf. And
so I wouldn't have paid attention either.
Well,
your school, though, I'm telling you, athletic department. Well, I mean, I think you guys are getting turf fields at some point too. Or maybe that was Northwood.
Everybody has your turf fields
at Fairfield. I don't know where y'all got your money, but God bless you.
Well, it wasn't from me, that's for sure.
They're nice.
I don't know what's going on.
Very nice.
Well, anyway, so we've been all over agriculture, non-agriculture, lots happening, but yet at the same time, not much happening. We'll give a quick plug here. Tippy River Adventures, the season's open up this Friday.
Memorial Day weekend.
Friday the 24th, Saturday 25th, Sunday 26th, and Monday the 27th. Open for canoe and kayak rides down the mighty Tippecanoe River. Mm. Water levels are up substantially this year over last year.
Not a lot of paddling.
Honestly, we sent our new general manager down the river early last week, and even with her having to scout and try and figure out a couple of ways around several trees that were down that we have cut up as of this past weekend, she made it in 2 hours, even after scramble over those. So water's moving.
I saw somebody that was it was a Facebook post a couple of weeks ago. They plan to float it on inner tubes. They want to put in by Fox Farm and float. I was just kind of thinking, good luck.
Good luck with that.
good luck on your tubes. Great for kayaks and canoes. Not necessarily tubes.
Well, if you're going to do that, I mean, just be aware. If your feet touch the bottom, you're trespassing. And if your tubes pop, don't leave them there for us to pick up. I don't want to deal with that. So, good luck with that. So, yeah, keep that in mind. If you want to book some tours, check it out, tippyriveradventures.com. Also, check out the other Freedom Cats podcast and network affiliates. They're continuing to talk about all sorts of different things. We'll just put it that way. And we will be back again in 1 week for another round of the Little Red Barn podcast. Hopefully by then I can tell you whether I am done planting or whether I have a plan to get done planting because we're getting close to that time.
Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Hey, you do the same, buddy. You do the same. Any big plans?
Gonna
burn some meat?
Float on the pond, too. We got a pig. We got pig delivered the other day.
Sweet.
So we got plenty of pork chops and pork steak, and I got butt tons of sausage now. Probably just grilling, floating on the pontoon. We probably do a little paddling on the lake. taking it easy, fire pitting. Hopefully the weather's good this weekend.
I think we're going to be planting some garden on Memorial Day, probably. Yep. It's time to get that in, the big one out here at the farm. Like I said, hopefully we'll run a tractor somewhere too. So lots of stuff happening. Until we get to the next episode, sir, you have a good rest of your week. Thanks for listening, everyone. This is the Little Red Barn Podcast.